One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is Leslie Kane, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
How big an impact do you think this administration can have with Trump at the helm, who admittedly, a lot of folks seem very confident that he could be the president to bring about real change in terms of disclosure? He himself has said on multiple occasions he isn't a believer. That's right. That not a roadblock still to all of this?
Well, it's a challenge, but I mean, a lot of people aren't believers of certain extraordinary things until they see the evidence. You know, I mean, that's just true. And that he doesn't know. You know, I mean, a person who's completely ignorant of the facts pertaining to a given subject, you know, doesn't believe a certain thing. But once you're shown the facts and the detailed information, you know, he's a very intelligent guy. The concern that we have about Trump is that he has a tendency to want to seek personal advantage all the time in things. It's kind of a motive that he has in that. That there's some concern that if he, when he gets briefed in detail about what all the details are pertaining to the UFO issue and the extraterrestrial technology or civilization, that he might try to take some personal advantage in it. You know, and that's a concern. But those of us who are willing to grant him good faith to start with in an administration like this, you know, hope that he's going to be so overwhelmed by the reality of this, that he's going to feel disposed actually to engage in the public interest you know, and make this available in a sound and in responsible manner. And the reality is that very peculiarly, he, as you suggest, might actually be much more inclined to do something like this than any other president that we could have had right now, because he is so iconoclastic. You know, he isn't caught up in, you know, maintaining all of the momentum of the normalcy that that the other administrations kind of major in. Okay. And so that he has a real opportunity to do something extraordinary and to reveal this information. And we have to get a look at now a lot of the people that are going to be surrounding him as his advisors, et cetera, that may try to talk him out of it. But he's promised several times to do it, you know, publicly during his campaign, that he would in fact secure all the information about the UFO issue and make it public. He said he'll do that. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to hold him to his word on that.
Another thing that's kind of happened over the last couple of days that I want to get your thoughts on before we answer some listener questions, Danny, is that D. Dean Johnson has published the additional questions that were answered off the back of the congressional hearings back in November. And a lot of folks split opinion at the time on the hearing, how it went, the impact of it. Was it as profound as the Grush hearing previously? It was all very much, you know, everyone's opinion. I've seen a lot of folks very responsive to Lou Elizondo's answers that were given in the 11 questions. Have you had time to go over the questions and Lou's answers?
Absolutely, I did.
What is your take on this then? And just to give a very brief overview, folks, so the questions from Representative Eric Burleson, who I almost got cancelled hosting him on this podcast once, where he wore a jumper where folks thought he was dressed as some kind of Nazi, but it was actually a sports jumper and it just had an awkwardly placed red band on the arm. And there was a whole joke about it, but even Eric was like, Jesus, yeah, I can see how that now looked. So folks, go back and watch that. That's almost got a congressman cancelled. That was a claim to fame for me. He asked Lou Elizondo 11 questions, which included: do any branch of the US government or defense contractor possess technology derived from a non-human source? Do they US military or defense contractors employ exotic materials of non-human or non-terrestrial origin? Is it possible UAPs are extra-dimensional rather than interdimensional? It was very much on-the-nose questions. Yes. And a lot of folks seem much more pleased and happy with Lou's answers to these questions than we maybe got in that whole hearing. Can you talk on that?
Oh, sure. Our New Paradigm Institute staff that were there were in communication with Congressman Burleson. In fact, you may know, if you look back at the videos of the hearing, you'll see that Congressman Burleson is reading his cell phone. He's reading questions off his cell phone, which we were communicating to him as he was sitting there asking the questions. And in the open hearing, Lou actually gave some of those answers. They kind of got lost in the kind of energy of the whole hearing, but Burleson specifically asked him, and so did Nancy Mace, is our government in possession of a non-human spacecraft? And he said yes, actually, in the hearing. But they were kind of shooting the questions at him very quickly. And as he was answering each of those questions, people, it kind of went by so fast, they didn't grasp the import of it. I think that the most important question, one of which I personally sent to Burleson, was he asked Lou straight out. He said, look, if you and I were to get into a skiff, this top secret container, and given the fact that we have the clearances that we do, would you be able to provide to me the proof that is absolutely definitive that we are in possession of an extraterrestrial non-human spacecraft and the bodies of non-humans that pilot these, and that we're back engineering the technology of these? Would you be able to give me that definitive proof? And Lou said, I would not be authorized to do that. It would require someone above me to make that decision. Now, that was an extraordinarily important point in the hearing, because Lew was actually telling him that the Congress of the United States is not authorized to know this yet. Okay, and that should have sent the Congress people right up out of their seats and saying, wait, you're saying that you know the information and you're refusing to tell me the information? And so there's someone above you that it would have to make that decision as to whether Congress is going to be informed, but they haven't followed up on that, you know, and they didn't follow up on that in written questions. But Burleson did ask these questions, and Lew was really quite straightforward with regard to the first few of them. He just flat out said, yes, I am telling you that we are in possession of a non-human origin extraterrestrial spacecraft, more than one. Number two, we have in fact recovered biological specimens from the craft and realized that the occupants were non-human. He's confirmed that. A couple of the other ones, he basically backed up and said, there are people who have asserted this that I believe to be credible. You know, the two of the questions he answered that way,
yep,
which still puts it into a hearsay kind of setting. But the first few questions that he was asked, he stated flat out that we've got those craft. They asked him, does he know where they are? And he said, yes. Yeah, he does know. And he actually talked about one of the sites that was on this river, this naval, that I knew that. I knew that one of them was there, but not from Lew. So the Congress, if they ask the right questions, Lew will give them the answers that he is authorized to give them. So there's still a lot more information that Lew knows that he's capable of giving to those who have the proper security clearances. But there is some information, clearly, that Lew does in fact know that he's not authorized to tell Congress. And that is a problem. That is a problem. Because to have a witness right in front of you who knows the information, and you're saying, we're willing to do it in secret, we're willing to do it pursuant to our national security clearances that we have, and you're telling us that you still won't give us the information, that's a problem. That's a constitutional problem. And that is what was concerning Lew. Lew was very concerned that the Constitution of the United States is not being adequately respected by elements within the national security state bureaucracy. That's something he has been very clear about, and it's a part of his complaint that he filed early on. So he's prepared to participate in facilitating how to get the information, because the question is he authorized to tell the people in Congress with the proper security clearances who the people are who do know the information and who are willing to tell them and who are able to authorize telling them? That's a step that hasn't been taken yet, but it does have to be taken.
With this new administration, and excuse my ignorance, should that not be really easy for the new president and the folks he has put in charge of all these different organizations and positions to secure that?
No, because you need to understand that there's an element deep within the national security state of the United States that is fundamentally and profoundly unconstitutional. And that they are so convinced that the elected representatives can't be trusted, and that even the president of the United States is only a temporary employee of the government at any given time for 4 to 8 years, and that they cannot be trusted, and they will not tell them. That's why it's going to be so important for the task force that Comer has set up now in the House Oversight Committee to have subpoena power and to subpoena these people to come in and to compel them to answer the questions. They have to conduct themselves, in effect, like a grand jury. And they've got to subpoena the people, demand the documents under subpoena, ducey stecum, they call it, to bring them in and engage in a confrontational undertaking against the deep state. Because until this group that is in charge of the UFO and ET secrets are dug out and exposed, President Trump is not going to be able to deal with the deep state. These people are the core of the deep state, and they reach into all kinds of other areas, but this is the core of the deep state. This is the most profound deep secret that is held by the people that are operational in the deep state. And they will not voluntarily tell the president, and they will not voluntarily tell the Congress. They're going to have to be compelled to do that. And that's why I've been asked to draft the complaint under the Federal Criminal Racketeering Act, the federal criminal complaint against these people. I'm in communication with high-level people inside the Justice Department and inside the FBI who are perfectly prepared to go forward with criminally prosecuting these people. That will put the fear of God in them. that's coming to get them if they're going to continue to, and up to this point in time, they haven't been threatened with that. They know they can get away with anything they want, and that nobody's going to do anything to them. So that we have to do that, and we have to invoke the entire power of the United States government and our criminal prosecutorial authority to dig these people out and to get this information from them and get it into the hands of the responsible people in Congress who have the adequate security clearances and can be adequately trusted to exercise authority on behalf of our people concerning this information. That's the key to this interview. That's the key to this interview.
It seems a lot of the names that you would want to either speak to in a skiff or get the good information from are about to appear in a documentary, Age of Disclosure, from Dan Farah. This was kind of long rumored before Lou's book came out, when Lou's book came out. Dan Farah was the agent that helped put a lot of those things together. Can a documentary move the needle in such a way that some are claiming this can?
Oh, yes. That is going to. I have no doubt at all about it. That documentary is going to be a significant event. And therefore, we have to prepare the Congress, specifically this task force, in the House Oversight Committee to respond immediately and to bring some of those people together with them in a skiff and say, okay, Clapper, for example, you have flat out asserted that this is true. Okay, tell us how you know it's true. Who did you talk to? What have you seen? And then we subpoena those people and bring them in. But they're going to have to start right from the beginning subpoenaing these people. And the problem is that they don't want to do that. It's all, let's ask them to voluntarily appear to begin with. And then they lawyer up, and the lawyers tell them not to agree to do it voluntarily. Then they go back and forth, and they start chewing away at the 6 months time limit. Okay, so they've got to start right from the very beginning, treating this just exactly like a federal criminal litigation or a grand jury, and issue those subpoenas and stop, mollycoddling around. And thinking that the deep state people are going to cooperate with them, because they're not. We have to go after them as the criminals that they are, and dig this out. And like all criminal investigations, there's going to have to be consideration for giving some of the people some degree of immunity in order to get their testimony. There's a whole pilot program now in the Justice Department that authorizes the granting of what they call non-prosecution agreement letters. We're very much aware of this now, in that I'm perfectly willing to participate in granting a non-prosecution agreement letter to certain individuals to get the information that we need, and they will be immunized against any criminal prosecution. I'm a great believer in it. Wrote my honors thesis at the undergraduate school at Harvard in the Fifth Amendment. So I'm not in favor of coercing people who who are believing that they are personally criminally liable to give that information. But that we've got this whole pilot program going on in the FBI now about the granting of these non-prosecution agreement letters that we can utilize. And the committee needs to know about this, and I'm sure they don't yet. But they need to have a very powerful general counsel for that task force that's been put together by Comer and Luna, and they've got to go after them. You know, just like a special prosecutor would, and go get this information. And while we're trying to expand the period of time from the 6 months to the 2 years, but you know, as long as we have the 6 month limit right now in place, this has got to be done with dispatch and seriously, right away.
Danny, that's probably a good place to get into some listener questions if you're up for that.
Sure.
I had a lot of them sent over to me, which jump all over the place, but there's some really good stuff in here. So thank you to everyone who sent them over. First off, from Nick, he says, would Danny expect there to be any connections to UFOs in the forthcoming JFK document release?
Yes. Yeah. No, but it's not what people think. I mean, people, this rumor has been around for a long time. Oh, JFK asked to get the information about UFOs and they didn't want to give it to him, so they killed him. You know, that it's not like that. That's just a reductionist, simple-minded analysis of. But what really happened is that immediately after the Cuban Missile Crisis in October of 1962, President Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev, the Russian president, were so personally traumatized about how close they had come to a major thermonuclear war that they began to exchange a series of totally secret letters outside of the authorized channels. The CIA didn't know about it. The Justice Department didn't know it. Nobody. They were exchanging letters through a fellow by the name of Norman Cousins, was actually delivering the letters back and forth to Khrushchev and to Kennedy. There were 18 letters that were exchanged. And in those letters, President Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev were actually planning to exercise their respective executive power authority to start to physically disassemble the nuclear warheads of both of those nuclear arsenals and to destroy them, not to just set them aside so they could be put back on missiles, you know, at a moment's notice, but to destroy them. They were actually engaged in that process. And what President Kennedy did is said, he would, in fact, propose to replace the massive military spending that both countries had engaged in historically in this Cold War that stimulated their economies. They would substitute for that a major joint Soviet and United States space program exploring outer space. And in that context, Kennedy, on June 5th of 1963, reached out and demanded to have full access to all of the UFO and ET information that was available inside our national security state. And they refused to give it to him because they knew he was getting set to give it to Nikita Khrushchev as a show of good faith. They were so desperately devoted to trying to get to disassemble the nuclear warheads and destroy them that he had to convince Nikita Khrushchev that he was in good faith about a genuinely united space exploration program with the Soviet Union and the United States, and that this would help to dispel the Cold War. Okay, and when they refused to give him that, and they realized that's what led them to discover that he was having these conversations with Nikita Khrushchev through these secret letters. And as soon as they realized what those were, it was the China lobby. It was the group of people that said, we cannot possibly allow the disassembly and destruction of the nuclear warheads of our nuclear arsenal because we need them against China, not against the Soviet Union. And this is something that we had direct conversations with President Gorbachev about, is that it was that element, the China lobby, that wanted to exploit the natural resources of Asia economically and commercially. These are the people that were behind the decision to say that this cannot be allowed. this man has to be eliminated. And that was Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles, not in his capacity as a disgruntled fired CIA director as a result of the fiasco of the Bay of Pigs, but it was in his capacity as general counsel for Brown Brothers Harriman, the major private investment group that were devoted to shifting their economic target over to Asia. This is something that I'll have to be giving in some detail to the task force dealing with the JFK assassination. But you can see that there's a way in which it's related, because it was his demand for all the UFO and ET information that tipped off the National Security State people that he was having these other secret conversations with Nikita Khrushchev. And the reason that I know about it is because the person who was going to broker the agreement to cover the systematic disassembly and destruction of the nuclear warheads was Pope John the 23rd, because Kennedy had trusted him implicitly, and Nikita Khrushchev trusted him explicitly. And it was Nikita Khrushchev that recommended that it be Pope John the 23rd that actually brokered the agreement and made sure that it was enforced. So that whole process was going on, which is a complete and total secret that, like, nobody knows about. That I happened to know about because I was at Jesuit headquarters, and that the Jesuit order, as you know, is not only the largest order inside the Catholic Church, but it's also most of the foreign diplomats and intelligence operations. And so we were privy to that information. And so the time has come to make that clear to people now as to what happened. And that's the relationship that it has to the demand for the UFO information. But it wasn't the demand for the UFO information itself that triggered the decision that was made by Alan Dulles to authorize the assassination team to kill the president that had been created back in 1960 to kill Fidel Castro and Raul Castro. And that was done by Richard Nixon, which was the key to the Watergate burglary. That's why when Richard Nixon told Haldeman to go over to the agency and talk to Vernon Walters, and to Dick Helms, and to tell them to get the hell out of this investigation right now, that he was talking about the assassination of President Kennedy. And so this will all come out. This will all come out. This is an extraordinarily important task force for disclosure. If something is getting ready to happen, like you can tell, all of the people, you know, Lou Elizondo and Colonel Nell and Chris Mellon and all the people, I keep on telling people, you know, we've got to solve this problem quickly. We've got to get information out. There's something getting ready to happen, you know, here. And if we're going to have a purgative process go on here of being able to cleanse the sins, if you will, of the United States national security state, we have to do this, and we need to do it now. If we're going to be prepared to reach out to the extraterrestrial civilization and demonstrate to them our goodwill in trying to overcome this kind of, if you will, sinful past. And it requires not only repentance, it requires penance. So there's going to have to be some pain here. There's going to have to be some painful coming to grips with reality here if we're going to purge ourselves of these sins and to have a clean conscience in dealing with the extraterrestrial beings, because that is something that they demand. That is something that they demand. A conscious, honest species to join their civilization, and that we're not yet there.
Really interesting in that information on that, and makes me want to go back and watch some of those old JFK movies I watched when, even as a young kid, I used to watch some of those in my grand's, and even some of the Watergate stuff as well, believe it or not. So really interesting story. A lot of people asked about the drone situation, because this is something that came up at the end of the Biden administration, or Kamala Harris administration, as it appeared to be for the final months, into the Trump administration. And Trump used this, "I will let everyone know what's happening with these drones," within days they came out and said, yeah, these were FAA approved and right. There was nothing to see here. So many folks have since come forward and said either that's correct, that's not correct, including, was it Senator, had his name, Mark Kelly, former astronaut. He told Matt Laszlo of Askapol that the drones were adversarial tech. So what do you know about the drone situation, Danny?
I don't know yet. The old saying is, I say that I don't get paid to guess. we do serious investigations. When we're charged with responsibility for conducting an investigation, we get to it and we find out the answer. I don't know yet what the answer is. I do know that there are a percentage of those so-called drones that were in fact performing activities that were well beyond the capacity of any known drone technology. And now the people inside the UFO community are rapid to jump on, say, oh, they were clearly UFOs and they're all concealing it. It's not clear yet, because we do know that the United States National Security State has in fact mocked up a number of craft, a fairly significant number of craft apparently, that perform some of the type of performance that the UFOs can. And so they can very clearly mask themselves as UFOs. But we don't know exactly what the percentages were of those craft that may have been man-made craft, but very special mocked-up UFOs. We don't know if there were any real UFOs in that mix, but there were clearly a number of law enforcement drones that were trying to find out what was going on. And there's a very specific body of information which bears much more scrutiny, that they were testing. This was a readiness exercise, a military readiness exercise, testing a particular type of drone that was capable of discerning radioactive signatures. Not that it was necessarily engaged in seeking a real loose nuke, as some people have suggested, that disappeared from the Ukraine and was reported to be somewhere on the East Coast, and that they were intensely looking for it. But there's some real reason to look into one of the theories, and that is that they were testing a new technology of a particular drone that was capable of discerning radiation, and so they could search for an actual loose nuke if it happened in the future. And this was a readiness exercise. And one of the challenges is that this particular technology, this drones, were also equipped with completely, I guess you could use the term, it's an unconstitutional technology that they were able to spy on American citizens. That they were able to through heat signatures to be able to determine how many people are inside a building. They even had potential face recognition technology on them to be able to spy on people from the sky. It was a spy even closer down than the satellites, with better definition, in that they had buried inside these drones the capacity to spy on the American public. And there's a history of them doing things like that, hiding behind the most sensitive national security technologies, the technology for spying on American public politically. That I can go into some detail later in another program about all that. But we know that's true. And there's an argument that that may be what they were doing. They were testing that particular technology, and they masked it with throwing up all kinds of other drones and stuff to mask that. But we don't know yet. We don't know if that's true or not. If, in fact, we get put in a position of needing to know that information, we'll look at that. But the New Paradigm Institute is primarily focused now on getting disclosure of what we already know and get that revealed to the American public and the world pertaining to the UFO phenomena. That's what we're doing right now, is our priority.
Another Daniel got in touch and said, "Hi Andy, what does Danny think of the claims of Chris Bledsoe he's making about the second coming of Christ in Easter 2026? It seems his CIA and other agency friends have taken this very seriously. What is Danny's interpretation of all of this? Is it just aliens playing tricks, or is there a spiritual religious connection?"
Seriously, I know Chris quite well. I've spent a lot of time with Chris. It's clear to me that Chris Bledsoe believes this, which is important. The question as to what exactly is going on, I haven't been down to Chris's house. He's invited me to come down to actually witness some of these things going on there. But I know that some very important people from the national security state, you know, have gone down to his home and witnessed some of these things going on, and that they've had some fairly serious conversations with him. It's CIA people, CIA domestic intelligence people, military people, you know, and like, you know, John Alexander and others have been down. Jim Simivan has been down to see him. You know, I know that some people are doing now. They seem to be taking very seriously whatever it is that's going on, but it's not clear that they're taking seriously what Chris's interpretation is about that. And Chris very clearly has this very heavy Christian overlay on his experience. He's prisming it through his kind of devout Christianity, and almost Catholic, because he's viewing this feminine being that he associates with some of the orbs as being a Mary, a Mother Mary, feminine being, and so that, and I've talked with Chris about it, and I'm going to see Chris again just in another couple of weeks here up in Ashland, and so we'll know more about that, but I do know that's how he's perceiving this, and it raises an extremely important specific issue, and that is the potential relationship between the UFO phenomenon and the orbs, of course, and the traditional religious beliefs of our human family. That whole question about the degree to which some of the UFO phenomena down over the centuries may have been interpreted as the traditional religious beliefs that have grown in the American or in the human family. So this is an issue of important exploration for the religious communities. And at Jesuit headquarters back in 1977, we actually presented to the coalition of the major 54 major religious denominations. The Jesuit order was involved in helping to organize that Washington Interreligious Staff Council. And we proposed to them back in early 1977 that a joint task force be set up to come to grips with the issue of extraterrestrial life and intelligence. They just basically stared at us like deer in the headlights when we proposed it to them. And then they went on to some other subject. But this is something that is going to have to be done. We're going to have to come to grips with this. I don't know that that Chris is going to be any kind of major point leader in this process, but he's having a very genuine experience, and I'm sure he believes that this is the proper interpretation of what's happening to him. And we'll see how this process goes. But it's going to be, in my opinion, much more complex and more sophisticated than just the way that Chris is experiencing it.
I think you've put that across very fairly. And just so no one's confused, I've often commented on the orb phenomenon being something that I believe in it, but I think a lot of the video evidence is lacking, and points of light in the sky aren't orbs. Chris Bledsoe, I've hosted on the podcast, and Ryan some time ago, and I believe Chris did have a truly unique experience, and the sheer volume of folks from various three-letter organizations who have been involved with him and his family point to something happening. I don't believe that the volume of things he reports now are necessarily UEP-related all the time, and I think maybe that comes down to that interpretation, as you say. A couple of nights ago, he very clearly filmed the International Space Station passing the moon because people correlated the time, the date, where he lives, and Chris posted it as, here's an orb. Loads of folks believe it, a lot of folk don't, but I think you have to be able to look at this topic and say, no, that's not an orb. It doesn't necessarily take away from the origins of Chris and his story, but that's it doesn't always mean what he's seeing now as that. So I think interpretation's a good way of putting that, Danny.
I think that's accurate. I think that's an accurate analysis,
yeah. And again, people can make mistakes or post something. No one's infallible in all of this. And it shouldn't take away that, well, that means the whole topic's nonsense. So I'd always stress that. My least favourite name of anyone who sends anything in, because I can't say it, Purple Burglar. Which is a very difficult thing to say in a Scottish accent, says, I have a question about the government baiting UAPs with nukes. How is it that the UAPs fall for the same trap and get downed by the government using the same tactics over and over again? Shouldn't they be far smarter than that, falling for it time and again? Or are these vehicles they send unmanned and disposable?
Yeah, no, he's gotten a little bit confused there. The utilization of the UAP or UFO technology to potentially transport nuclear delivery systems is not being done by the ET people, you know, and being duped into working with our military. It's the back engineering of their technology in the design of a fake UFO, a man-made UFO, that is potentially being utilized to help transport and deliver nuclear weapons.
I think what he meant on the question, Danny, it may have been how I read it, but about the government baiting UAPs with nukes, as in drawing them in using nuclear weapons.
No. The U.S., again, you're conflating two or three different things. That Lou talks about this in his book, Imminent, where Lou was one of the people proposing a thing they call the honey trap, assembling a nuclear task force, aircraft carrier, submarines, etc., and being kind of a really tempting target for the UFO surveillance to come in to surveil such a gathering, and then use that opportunity to trap them and to shoot them down or knock them down. That was a very specific thing that they were talking about doing. But the interest of the UFO vehicles and the occupants in our nuclear facilities is very real and a very genuine one. And it has been their craft that have actually engaged in shutting off not only the nuclear missiles, but also aircraft carriers, nuclear aircraft carriers and submarines, of actually rising up out of the sea and disabling an entire nuclear aircraft carrier task force, and Richard Dolan is going to be coming out right this week with the first volume of a 3-volume study that he's doing on unidentified submerged objects, the USOs, and I think there were 400. But I think that in talking with Rich, something like 400 plus instances of this that he recounts in his 3 volumes that he's going to be coming out with. And so that these activities of the United States military deploying nuclear weapon systems has been the subject of very real surveillance on the part of the UFOs. And that's why Lou and others had come up with this idea of trying to bait the term that the burglar is using here, to bait their coming in to do the surveillance and then trying to trap them and to knock down their UFO with this new electronic pulse weapon that they've been using to actually knock down UFOs. That's true and extraordinarily unfortunate. I mean, that's engaging in warfare, basically, against these craft, because they view them as a threat to the national security, because they're doing the surveillance of our nuclear capabilities. But the bottom line is that I am completely opposed to doing that, and it backs us up into the question relating to Jake Barber. You know, remember that Jake Barber is now saying that, and everybody's extraordinarily excited about this whole thing, that Jake Barber is from in a private capacity has assembled a team of people that he is going to be engaging psionics of reaching out telepathically to try to draw in some of these craft. But they're talking about apparently capturing them. not just videoing them and not just showing, oh, here they are. They're coming and approaching. But I'm deeply concerned. So is the New Paradigm Institute about potentially utilizing the capacity of psionics in mental telepathy to attract these craft and then engaging in some sort of aggressive, hostile action toward them. Now, this is especially dangerous if it's being done by our U.S. military, but it's also dangerous if it's being done by some private aerospace corporation, you know, for whom he's working and his task force are employed by. You know, that even though there's an independent outside funder that's funding their team's operations, they've been engaged in this activity. People haven't really grokked this. You know, his activity of recovering this egg and these other things is inside some range. You know, it's a privately owned area where there's a private aerospace corporation, Grumman, actually, aerospace corporation that he was employed by. And to have the commercial for private profit corporations engaged in trying to capture their own craft, the UFO craft, is just slightly less ominous an activity than our United States military taking them down and trying to reverse engineer them. Neither one of these two motives, in our opinion, is appropriate. You know, trying to either gain some explicit military advantage over Russia or China by back engineering these craft, by knocking them down and taking their technology, or the private commercial industry, you know, trying to capture these vehicles so that they can get patents on these technologies. I think both of those are low consciousness motivations, and that therefore the private citizen groups, civilian, non-commercially motivated civilian groups gathering and reaching out to establish telepathic communication with the craft and demonstrate our openness and friendliness toward them is an important alternative dynamic that I think really needs to be undertaken. And I'm going to do whatever I can in talking with Ross Coulthart and the folks and getting to hopefully a talk with Jake and Fred Baker and some of the other folks to make certain that that type of lower consciousness motive is not going to characterize their activities. Because even the person who's financing those activities comes from a major private investment group. You know, I do not want, our New Paradigm Institute does not want the exploration of space and the reaching out to our extraterrestrial neighbors to be motivated by private commercial profit making, you know, any more than we want it to be dominated by, you know, United States military efforts to establish superiority over areas of space. We don't want either one of those things to characterize this outreach and solicitation of communications with the extraterrestrial beings. That's our position.
I'll just mention here that if folks are listening to this, my next interview is with Richard Dolan on his USO series. So people will be able to listen to that one, Danny, a few days after this interview comes out. So, and then after that, it's Jacques Vallée. So some really important figures and names all kind of back to back coming up for people to listen to. And at a really interesting time as well. Ryan says, "Hi, Danny. If half the stuff you've asserted is real, then we're in something crazier than Star Trek. What do you actually believe is going on versus what you've been told?"
Well, I don't. We have to exercise great care here not to speculate overly. beyond things that we have obtained information and credible evidence to support here. You know, that this is that I've told the story a number of times that they try to train you at Harvard Law School to just accept the facts that you've got direct admissible evidence on in order to kind of develop your theories of what's going on in a particular case. In this particular case, that given the fact that I've been at this for 47 years now and have had access to not only the classified information that was in Project Blue Book, you know, when I was working as special counsel to the Congressional Research Service investigation asked for by President Carter, but I've also interviewed people that were staff people in Project Blue Book, investigating the secret 700 plus cases that they were unable to explain away. I've interviewed direct people that were employed in that project, and have interviewed them and discerned what I believe about what they're saying and what they're not. I've also engaged in vetting a lot of the numerous witnesses when I was legal counsel for the Disclosure Project with Dr. Greer. I've interviewed lots and lots of people, including Clifford Stone and a lot of the people who've had direct face-to-face encounters with the UFO craft and recovery of bodies, et cetera. And as the legal counsel for Lou, I've been able to meet and talk with and interview the people who have a very important information about this, nothing that's been classified that they weren't allowed to talk with me about. But the bottom line is I have access, I think, to considerably more information than 99% of everybody else, you know. Based on that, there are some very specific things that I believe. And in fact, what we're doing is at the New Paradigm Institute, we are preparing right now a list of 100 facts that we're going to be putting forward to all of our people that are in our Citizens for Disclosure movement. We're going to have groups in every one of the 435 congressional districts in the United States, in all 50 states, and a number of them in other countries right now, where we're going to be providing the information, say, look, here are the first 100 facts that our New Paradigm Institute is declaring to be true. And that you can take these to the bank. You know, there's a lot of other information that's around that's still speculative, or there's some evidence on that we haven't been able to actually completely confirm yet. And that those other facts will be added to this list of 100 facts as we vet them and come to believe them. So those are going to be available in the near future. So you'll see what it is that we've come to conclude is really true. And this is made up of information, and we'll have footnotes and links to the actual evidence that supports each of these, so that people will see that this isn't just aimless speculation on our part. This is evidence that we believe meets the standards of Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure that support a good faith conclusion that these things are true. And we believe that given access to the discovery process, you know, in this case, given access to the investigative process of the task force that's put together in the House of Representatives, that we can extract the evidence that will be court admissible under the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure and the rules of evidence that will be admissible to put in front of the jury of the American people. And that's the standard that we're using here. And so therefore, I, for just an example, that, you know, I believe that there's convincing evidence that there are at least five very specific species that are extraterrestrial in origin, who are in fact coming here to our planet, and that the UFOs are vehicles by means of which they transit from their separate star system to here. Okay. I believe that they are part of a task force, basically, that's been assembled inside our galaxy to explore planets where life has actually evolved, and that they are exploring sort of as an anthropology kind of experiment, looking at the life forms of what stage that we're all in. And it's in this capacity that they've been coming to our planet, monitoring the development of our species, monitoring our activities toward each other, looking toward setting up some sort of standards by means of which, when we reach a point where we're prepared to venture out into space, into their territory, that they can make themselves assured that we're not going to bring military weaponry. And so I believe that we are, in a sense, quarantined right now. That as long as we are going to insist upon bringing nuclear weapons and undertake aggressive military action to try to establish our superiority with regard to gathering together for ourselves the strategic raw materials that we believe our major business corporations need to maintain profit and stimulate our economies, that we're not going to be allowed to come out there. Every type of experiment that we do to try to get outside of our own solar system is going to be thwarted until we've overcome these deficiencies that we have in our culture right now. I believe that's true. I also believe that there is a very genuine, a spiritual dimension to the culture that the UFO people have developed. I don't know yet, our new paradigm is it doesn't quite know yet what the nature of the juridical structure is of their relationship with each other, of these at least five species, whether they have some sort of federation that they're in, whether they've established some sort of mutual compact as to how they will conduct themselves with regard to our human family. We don't know these things yet, but I do believe that there is a spiritual dimension to the undertaking that they're engaged in. Now, I also our New Paradigm Institute has had lots of communications with Reed Marshall, Marshall Summers, and Reed Summers and the others that in the allies of humanity that realize that there may well be some commercial interest that the extraterrestrial species have but that it seems that the resource that they might be interested in on our planet is actually specimens of life, different types of flora and fauna, for the potential seeding of life on other planets in our galaxy that are capable of sustaining life like this. And so that it's a different than, you know, coming here trying to take all of our resources or mine all of our gold or take all of our any other natural resource, but it's the actual life that has evolved on our planet here seems to be a potential resource that they're involved in harvesting to some extent. These are some of the things that we believe at this particular stage, predicated on the evidence that we have, I do believe very clearly, and our institute believes that there is in fact a hybridizing project that's underway, that they are in fact gene splicing the chromosome from their species and ours, and gestating hybrid beings. This is an extraordinarily important issue. And you'll notice that Congress has not gone anywhere near this, and none of the witnesses that are going to be testifying to them in the immediate near future are going anywhere near this. But it's an extraordinarily important aspect of the encounter that we're having with the extraterrestrial civilization. And so that this bears important additional scrutiny, because this threatens to transgress some important barriers that we would want from our human family, not to have our people involuntarily abducted, involuntarily impregnated, generating involuntarily generating hybrids of our species. These are things that we have to have a meaningful conversation with the ET beings, and that we need to do it as a human family. And that's why the reaching out to them from the civilian point of view, non-commercial civilian point of view, in expressing our beliefs to them, in attempting to persuade them to respect our independence and dignity, and to maintain some of the important values that we have pertaining to privacy, pertaining to free speech and free religious beliefs, et cetera. That these are all things that are important part of the conversation that we need to have with them. And they cannot be prisoned through the national security state and the military. This needs to be a civilian undertaking on the part of our citizenry. So these are some of the things that we have come to believe at this point. And that these are going to be things that are put forth in our 100 facts that we're going to be releasing from the New Paradigm Institute in the foreseeable future here. And we will add to them as we garner more and more information and come to conclusions about additional facts.
Well, Danny, we're at the end of our time together, and that's probably a nice place to leave it. How can folks sign up to the New Paradigm Institute newsletter I mentioned before and obviously find out about things like those 100 facts that are coming soon?
Yes, easy. It's newparadigminstitute.org. And you'll find there all of the links to the various podcasts that carry information that we find to be credible. You'll find our list of 100 facts when it's prepared, and you can join through that. You can become members of the New Paradigm Institute and volunteer to engage in activities working with us. And you can, very importantly, become members of Citizens for Disclosure, which are going to be working in detail in all 435 congressional districts in all 50 states to work with our congressional members and our United States senators to get Congress to step into this role and take control of this particular issue away from the exclusive hands of the national security state. This is an extraordinarily important mission of the New Paradigm Institute. And when we get this objective accomplished to secure our disclosure here, we're talking about trying to formulate a new paradigm worldview that can actually integrate all of this information of the other civilization around us, what their understanding of physics is, what their understanding of the origins of our universe are, understanding what the ultimate outcome of our universe may be, if they've had several million years more, several billion years more in some cases, time to look into this, to share this information, and how do we integrate this into adjusting our geopolitical structures on our planet, our political structures, our economic structures, and very importantly, our theological structures. How do we, that's the New Paradigm Institute's mission, but we first have to get the disclosure so that we know what the information is that our government knows about, and establish direct diplomatic relations through our citizenry with the members of the extraterrestrial civilization so that we have a citizen diplomacy exchange of information outside of the military and commercial ventures.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify. Just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer, a little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right inside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.